on this episode of RevHang.
There seems to be a Finnish tradition of F1 driver goes from a very successful team to a less successful team. That happens to be Sauber.
I don't know, man. You put Perez in the top five, so I knew something was wrong.
I was like, oh my god, did Lewis Hamilton die? It wasn't quite that bad, but it was pretty bad.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RevHang. I'm Nathan, and alongside me virtually, thanks to the power of the internet, is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Decided I'm going to try to let the mustache grow in preparation for fall. See how that goes.
Awesome stuff.
That's my big update for the week.
Works for me, but this is not a facial hair podcast. This is a racing podcast. So let's dive right into some racing and paddock news to start out. First big news. Finally, Carlos Sainz has a seat for 2025, and he is going to Williams.
Definitely, that's so weird.
Yeah, it's a little strange. This is very much like when you play my season in the F1 game, and all these inexplicable driver changes happen.
It feels like he just needed a place to land for a year while he waited for one of the other big teams to offer him a better deal.
Yeah, that's possible.
Like, he's just trying to let the value go up, because I'm sure he didn't get as much as he wanted offered to him at either of the teams, if the rumors are true. So if he's at Williams, maybe he's waiting to see if Mercedes gets desperate after Antonelli comes, or whoever they choose, or if Red Bull ever gets rid of Perez, maybe they would offer him a little more. But definitely wasn't my first pick of places for Sainz to go, but
yeah,
we'll see how he does. I mean, in terms of driver pairing, that's pretty strong. It's just they need an actual car that can compete.
Yeah, for sure. They do have a very strong driver pairing at Williams now for the first time since I've even started watching F1. Definitely the strongest pairing they've had in probably 10 years. But it's not the strongest on the grid, I don't think. That is probably going to be either Norris Piastri or Leclerc Hamilton, would be my guess, especially if Antonelli ends up going to Williams. I think Russell Bottas Antonelli goes to Mercedes. I think Russell and Bottas at Mercedes would be quite the interesting pairing.
That would be very interesting. That is correct.
Yeah,
I feel like that actually would be not a bad pairing either. I'd hate to see Bottas. I'd be worried that he would just go back to being second driver Bottas for Mercedes.
Yeah, he almost certainly would, which I don't think he wants, so I don't think he'll ever go back to Mercedes. In fact, I would not be surprised if this was his last season, just because I don't know how many seats are going to be available for Bottas. There's still one open at Sauber. Then Alpine is pretty much the only other spot he could land.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't stay at Sauber or go to Alpine, he'll be out of the sport. I think I've heard that he is tossing around the idea of IndyCar, which makes sense because he basically lives in the U.S. anyway.
That'd be so sick.
That'd
be even better than Sargent.
It would be. It really would be. Be interesting to see like a Sargent Bottas Prema F1 or IndyCar team.
The F1 IndyCar team.
Yeah. That would be, that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, I think it's going to be cool to see him in IndyCar if that's where he goes. I could see him going to NASCAR because there seems to be this Finnish tradition of going into NASCAR after an F1 outing. I think Marcus Ericsson and Kimi Räikkönen have both done that.
Finnish tradition of
Marcus Ericsson going to... Swedish, so, sorry. Anyway, continue, Ben.
There seems to be a Finnish tradition of F1 driver goes from a very successful team to a less successful team that happens to be Sauber, retires after not doing very well for a few seasons, and then goes to do something else that they seem much more interested in.
Yeah, he might just focus on his cycling career and continue making his own alcoholic beverages. I don't know.
More NSFW calendars?
It's possible he could really go wild if he wasn't tied to a contract that said he couldn't. But anyway, yeah, so that's the Bottas rabbit hole we just went down. Next up...
That wasn't even on the script. No. That's crazy.
Next up in our padding news is Checo Perez is going to stay at Red Bull. I thought it was for the remainder of the season, but after watching some more videos, that's not what Horner said.
What did he say?
Christian Horner said that he is looking forward to seeing how Checo does at the next few tracks where he tends to do well.
Next few tracks?
Yeah, so the next four races are races, I believe, that Perez has generally done well at. It includes Azerbaijan. I don't remember the other ones. I don't feel like he does well at Zandvoort, though, but it's going to be Azerbaijan, Italy, Zandvoort, and one other one. Singapore, maybe? Singapore, because he does well there.
So that sounds a lot more like an ultimatum and a lot less like a contract extension that I was thinking that it was.
It's possible. I don't know. Maybe they're just buying themselves time because they still don't want to make a decision. I'm just absolutely shocked that they did not replace him.
Yeah.
They're essentially handing the Constructors' Championship to McLaren. Four races from now, I'm pretty sure McLaren will be in front of Red Bull in the Constructors' standings. So, I don't really understand the logic there, but if that's what they think is the best decision, then that's their decision.
More power to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then our last piece of paddock news is Esteban Ocon was confirmed to Haas for 2025. The secret is out. It was never really a secret. People seem to have known for a long time. But yes, Esteban Ocon will be driving at Haas in 2025.
Along with Ollie Bearman. What a strange driver pairing.
Bearman Ocon. Yeah, that is that's an interesting one for sure. If I was a rookie, I would not want Ocon to be my teammate. I'll just put that out there.
Maybe Haas will maybe he'll magically ease up once he's at Haas. He'll be normal.
I don't know. We'll have to find out. All right, let's move into the one race we have to talk about this week, and that is the Formula One Belgian Grand Prix. We'll go through the top 10 in qualifying to give you context. On pole position was Charles Leclerc. Even though Max Verstappen was faster than him, he had a 10-place grid penalty for an engine change. So Charles Leclerc ended up on pole, followed by Perez in second with his first good qualifying in like 6 months. Hamilton in third, Norris in fourth, and Piastri in fifth. 6 through 10 were Russell, Sainz, Alonso, Ocon, and Albon. Going into the race, Leclerc maintained the lead early on, and Norris fell back after going wide in turn 1 into the gravel trap. Verstappen tore through the midfield up to P7 very quickly. Hamilton took the lead of the race on lap 3. Perez continued to fall through the field like a brick throughout the course of the race. Russell decided to go for a one-stop strategy while everybody else stopped twice, and this gave him the lead of the race after the second round of pit stops. Russell ended up leading for the rest of the race as Hamilton chased him down, but Hamilton ended up finishing less than half a second behind his teammate, and Russell won the race for about an hour.
Yeah. I kept on, because Emily had already seen race spoilers.
Yeah.
So she kept on, like, looking at me once the race started. Like, she knew something. And she was like, oh, this sucks. And I was like, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
She's like, I can't tell you.
Like, oh, you don't know, do you? No.
That's like,
What do you
that could
mean?
mean so many things. You're probably sitting there
I
thinking there was a bad crash and somebody died.
was like, oh my God, did Lewis Hamilton die?
Somebody
Wasn't
died.
quite that bad, but it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But anyway, to go into what we're talking about, George Russell, after winning the race, his car was found to be 1.5 kilograms under the minimum allowed weight. So he was disqualified from the race after winning.
Yep.
Brutal stuff. And
Yeah,
he.
1.5 kilograms is, I don't know, like 3 pounds.
Yeah, 3 or 4 pounds, yeah.
Like, it's not an insignificant amount.
It's not nothing, but who knows if that really made that much of a difference. It's possible that it did. Considering Lewis was like 4 tenths behind him at the end. Very
Yeah, every
possible.
kilogram is supposed to be worth anywhere from 300ths to 500ths of a second, allegedly, per lap.
Yeah, something like that. So it is possible that that did help him in the long run, especially on the straights, is where it would make the most difference. But anyway, he was disqualified, so Lewis Hamilton finished second, but ended up getting a P1 in terms of points, and recognition, I guess. But not to gloss over it, George Russell absolutely deserved to win that race.
Yeah, no, that was a crazy call from him, just on the fly, just based on the conditions and how he was feeling. And it paid off. And I'm so sad that it didn't pay off in the way that it should have.
Yeah, it was a just complete balls to the wall call. Like, he had no evidence that that would work. He was sitting there in P6 or wherever he was, and he's like, you know what? I want to either win the race or finish nowhere. So we're gonna go for this one-stop strategy. It was completely his call, and it actually worked very well.
Paid off big.
Like,
I wonder
big
if that's
time.
going to affect how teams run this race in coming years. I know it'll be different cars, but
Yeah.
knowing how effective a one strop can be if you manage your tires right.
Yeah, I don't think this race will have any real historical pull. It's possible next year, but like you said, the cars are going to be completely different in 26, and I don't even know if the tires, because they redo the Pirelli revamps the tires like every year.
Oh, I
So
forgot about that. Yeah.
It's possible, like, I'm sure the tire data is probably useful, but it's not going to be 100% accurate from previous years.
That is a good point.
So who knows? But very awesome call from Mr. Russell. Great drive from Lewis Hamilton too. He was absolutely storming. He was very fast. And then Piastri in third was also very fast, unlike his teammate. But let us talk about the rest of the order. First place was Hamilton, followed by Piastri and Leclerc. Fourth and fifth were Verstappen and Norris. Sixth through 10 were Sainz, Perez, Alonso, Ocon, and Ricciardo. 11 through 15 were Stroll, Albon, Gasly, Magnussen, and Bottas. 16 through 18, rounding off the finishers, were Tsunoda, Sargeant, and Hülkenberg. And we had one DNF, and that was Guanyu Zhou, with an engine failure, it looked like, or no, some like hydraulic failure, something. Just another Sauber day.
Sour things, yeah.
So, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, Lando Norris had a bit of an off day. He was not, he didn't have the pace that he's had the last few races.
No, he didn't, especially compared to Piastri, who was up there.
Piastri had all the pace this weekend. It almost looked like a complete role reversal, but Lando got stuck behind Verstappen, and I mean, passing Verstappen is no easy task, as he's already found out once this year. Yeah, just another Norris Verstappen battle, but not really. Norris was always just kind of a second or two behind him. Kind of unfortunate for the McLaren fans, but McLaren still ended up better off in the Constructors' Championship after this race than Red Bull, so that's all that really matters.
Yeah, they're coming so close
Yeah.
to the Red Bull points.
Yeah, so let's
Would you
skip
like to
down
talk
here
about
real
why that
quick and look
is?
at that. Red Bull Racing is sitting at 408 points in the championship, and McLaren is at 366 with Ferrari at 345. Sounds like Ferrari is closer to McLaren than they actually are, because Ferrari had a great beginning of the season and they've just completely dropped off. So I only see McLaren, and McLaren just passed Ferrari in the championship last week. But
Oh yeah, look at that.
they are flying through the constructors' tables, and are only 42 points behind Red Bull, which can actually exactly be achieved in, or wait, no, my math's wrong, but it can be achieved in one race.
Yep, all we need is a double DNF.
Yeah, give me that double Red Bull, no points, with a McLaren win and fastest lap, and third place or better.
Is there a sprint? When's the next sprint race coming up?
No, second place. It'd have to be second place. So McLaren 1-2, Red Bull's out of the points. Next sprint race, I believe, is it's either Italy or US. I think it's US. Austin.
Okay, so that's pretty far out. I was going to say it'd be even faster if they'd managed to have a sprint race in there,
Yeah.
because Piastri always kills at those.
Yeah, he's really good at those. But anyway, back to our talking points. It's time. Well, we already talked about Perez, so let's we'll skip that one. But Perez was nowhere this
Really? The
race.
restraint.
We already did this. I couldn't, like, I wrote it down here in the notes, but we just couldn't hold it in for more than like
Yeah.
2 minutes. So yeah, Perez did not have a good race. He qualified second and then had absolutely no pace during the race after like lap 10. And so he fell through the field all the way to seventh, finishing last of the front running teams. And really, like, way far behind. He was 24 seconds behind sixth place, Carlos Sainz. Right. We're back, if I cut that out. Probably.
Okay, cool.
We are back. Let's talk about Mercedes now. They have been so fast. They have won three of the last four races. And it's like kind of out of nowhere. They were nowhere at the beginning of the season, and now they've won three of the last four races.
That's crazy.
Granted, the George Russell win in Austria was kind of a gift. He should have gotten P3, but the other two were completely on merit. So, very good stuff for Mercedes. I think they're a little too far back to fight for the championship at this point. They're sitting at 266 in these standings, so they are a full 100 points behind McLaren. And with the pace being fairly equal, I don't see them making that up, along with competing against Red Bull and Ferrari. Even though I think Ferrari is the
Yeah,
fourth
it's just
fastest
a
car right now.
little bit too far behind.
Yeah.
But man, it's gonna be close
For
for sure.
sure.
It's cool to see them kind of swapping places with McLaren too. It's not just McLaren that's challenging. We have three teams this year that's actually challenging Red Bull.
Yeah, absolutely. And then disqualification we already talked about. So let's we talked about the standings. Let's talk about the pit stop championship. All right. So this week we had a McLaren victory with Oscar Piastri in a time of 2.05 seconds. Second and third were Perez and Ricciardo. Fourth and fifth were Tsunoda and Norris. Six through ten were Russell, Bottas, Hamilton, Verstappen, and Leclerc. Moving into the standings, Perez extends his championship lead for the pit stop championship. And not too much else notable in the teams. Red Bull is way out in front, not being challenged at all. Overtake of the week. I gave this to Oscar Piastri for his overtake on Leclerc on lap 36 of the Belgian Grand Prix. It was
Right around the outside.
Right around the outside. That's pretty much where every single overtake took place that race. It was not a particularly exciting race, which is sad because Spa hasn't been in a few years, and I don't really understand why. Because, anyway.
Let's not go on a regulations rant right now. Save that for midseason.
Anyway, so at the end of the Camel Straight, Oscar Piastri went around the outside at the beginning of that right-left chicane and hung it around the outside. Leclerc fought him back, shoved him right to the edge of the track, but not off it. It was great racing from both of them. Probably the best racing moment of the entire race, which is why this got that award. So, yep, congratulations, Oscar Piastri, for P2 and Overtake of the Week. All right, let's move into our weekly predictions. We are flying through this episode. It's going to be a short one, ladies and gentlemen, as well as being a day late. We are sorry about that. We had scheduling issues this week. But, regardless.
And by scheduling issues, he means yesterday we went out and got beer together.
Yes, it was a business meeting, doing business.
Yeah.
anyway, regardless, let's talk about our predictions for the Belgian Grand Prix from last week. Going through the top five to remind everybody, it was Hamilton, Piastri, Leclerc, Verstappen, and Norris. Ben, what did you say for your top five?
It's not great this week, Nathan. I had Norris, Verstappen, Piastri, Hamilton, and Perez with Albon as my dark horse. What was I thinking? I don't know. It was bad.
I don't know, man. You put Perez in the top five, so I knew something was wrong.
I wanted to give him a shot, and he qualified so well.
Yeah.
I thought my plan was come together perfectly, and then...
Unfortunately not.
Anyways.
All right. My top five wasn't much better. I had Norris, Piastri, Hamilton, Leclerc, and Sainz. So I got Piastri right in second place, but past that, it was not even close. All right. I did, however, predict... Oh, I had Ricciardo as my dark horse. I did predict that Verstappen would not finish in the top five. And while he did finish fourth, I made that prediction before the engine penalty. So I thought I had absolutely like hit a home run on that one. But no, he still made it up to fourth. Really fifth, but ended up being fourth. All right.
Still a pretty good drive for somebody who started 11th.
For sure. Fastest lap went to Sergio Perez. What did you say?
I had Norris for this one.
I had Hamilton.
Really? Perez had fastest lap?
Yeah, he pit that's why I finished so far back behind Sainz, is because he pit like two laps before the end to the softs to get it, to take that point.
Just to get
because it was
one little extra point.
I think it was Piastri that had it at that time, so it was more taking it off of McLaren, even though actually I don't know. Yeah, driver of the day, or fastest lap has to count towards constructors, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's got to.
Because it counts for the driver.
It has to, yeah. Because otherwise the math would be really confusing. All right, so they took that point off McLaren. That's almost assuredly why they did it. Yeah, driver of the day went to Lewis Hamilton. What did you say, Ben?
I finally got it. It was Lewis Hamilton. It's the first time in a long time that I've actually gotten drafted the day right.
Yeah, you nailed that one. I said Leclerc. Leclerc was kind of nowhere that race, except for the beginning. He was kind of just puddling around, it looked like.
Yeah, I mean, after the engine, or after the DQ, that's third place.
Yep, he ended up on the podium, so.
His best finish in like 2 months.
Other than Monaco, yeah. All right, let's move on to everybody's favorite segment. Ben, do you have any words of wisdom for us this week?
Yes, the wisdom's getting a little skinny in these hot summer months, but I think the best piece of wisdom I can give to you is, I don't even know what counts necessarily as wisdom, but I have recently started trying to play more games from my childhood, you know, the classic Pokemon and tile matching games, and it's actually pretty nice. They're super simple. They don't like take up an enormous mind share while you're trying to do other stuff. It's just like a is a nice way to relax without getting super entrenched into your screen. It's something you can pick up and then put back down if you need to. There's no like live service or anything like that. Stuff was just simpler back then. But yeah, I don't know what kind of wisdom to extract from that aside from try playing some old video games.
Lean into
If you're
nostalgia.
bored,
Is that your word?
yeah, lean into the nostalgia.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you
Lean
go.
into nostalgia, whether that's games or books or whatever.
Yeah, but don't give Nintendo your money. Pirate everything. I don't care. Shut us down. Do it, Nintendo. I dare you.
Okay, Ben. I mean, I okay. Thank you, everybody, with that self-sabotaging moment. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching and/or listening to this episode of Rev Hang. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or a rating on the platform you listened on. It really helps us out. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. And if you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and Formula One, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have any questions about us or about racing, hit us up on socials in the comments or DMs. That would be the best way to get a hold of us. We may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N underscore squared. You can follow the RevHang page at RevHang Media on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, anywhere you get your stuff. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. No official date at the moment, but at least 2 weeks for our mid-season review podcast. Always a fun one, always a long one. So we will try to consolidate that. We'll talk about some predictions, updates from the beginning of the season, and we will make some predictions for the last half of the season, as well as talk about everything that's happened so far, big moments, championship swings, kind of the narrative of the season so far, because every F1 season is a whole book in and of itself. Some of them are
That
better
is
than
so true.
others.
Yeah. You just gotta let us cook, essentially.
Essentially, just let us cook. While we are cooking, have a great summer break. If you're taking a summer break, I know most of us aren't. But until our mid-season review podcast, I'll see you next time.
Stay cool out there.
Thanks for hanging out.